The Mike O'Mara Show.
Everybody say it. I am fat.
Good morning, Meredith. This is fantastic. It's beautiful.
John is in the basement mixing up the medicine. I'm on a pavement thinking about the government. The man in a trench coat, batch out, laid off. Says he's got a bad cough, wants to get it paid off. Look out, kid.
I love that.
You like it?
Oh, I do indeed. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. This is our phone number, 877-365-3636. Don't forget, this coming Friday, it's Hogfest 2008. We got it all set. It's all come together.
Yep.
Yeah. Even the weatherman is cooperating. Yes. We've got barbecue and hot dogs from Just In Time Catering. Music from the Bad Influence Band. They'll be there all day. Demonstrations from Motorcycle Riding Concepts. Prizes from Patriot Harley-Davidson and Crazy Jane's Custom Cycles in Chantilly. I got a prize from them today. I love it.
Very
nice. Briefcase is unbelievable.
They seem to be quite fond of you.
The Hooters girls will be there. We'll have competition for the hottest biker chick. Scariest biker, king of queens, biggest piece of S-bike, and best in show. The forecast for Friday, partly to mostly sunny and a high of 72 degrees.
That's nice. Not perfect.
That is perfect biker weather. Mm-hmm. But speaking of, I wasn't speaking of anything regarding to this
That's
gentleman.
True.
This is an amazing story. We're going to talk to him. Brent Case is the guy from Canada. Telling yourself to play dead if you're ever attacked by a grizzly bear is easy, but actually doing it with a 900-pound monster chewing on your head until you think your brains are falling out is a lot harder. Brent Case is 53 years old. He's a surveyor from Vancouver. He was attacked by a 900-pound grizzly bear. The grizzly bear just shredded his arm, bit into his skull. He actually felt like his brains were going to be, coming out of his head.
Yeah.
And he played dead, and the thing eventually backed off. And we're going to talk to him right now from Vancouver. This is Brent Case. Brent, thanks for coming on the show.
Good to be here.
I know you. A lot of people have been talking to you. I saw you earlier on the Today Show and saw the marks on your head. And this is just an amazing story. I was watching one of the National Geographic channels or Discovery just a short time ago when they were talking about a wildlife photographer who actually studied the Kodiak bears. And, they found the guy, pieces of the guy, when they found him because he was attacked by a bear. He studied them and lived with them, and he was killed. You're a guy that's a surveyor that's out there in Vancouver, and you're able to survive this. I cannot believe you were able to play dead during this entire process. You must have been in excruciating pain.
It was an unbelievable pain at the time, and it's one of these things where had I squawked or made any noise with this animal, and believe me, I was screaming. I was screaming in my head, if that makes any sense.
You were screaming to yourself, but you weren't letting the screams out as this thing was attacking you.
No, the screams were, and I was grinding my teeth and screaming in my head, and I was saying, if you're going to do this, get it over with quick, because I don't know if I can take much more of the pain here.
Okay, so that was part of the, I saw the interview with the Today Show, and there are lots of questions that I wanted that weren't answered. How close exactly was the bear to you when you discovered that it was there?
He moved up very quickly. He was probably 15 feet away when he was when I first glimpsed on him. But he was moving so quickly, and these bears can go 40 miles an hour.
Wow. So he was and when you discovered him, he was charging you?
He was charging me.
Oh my God! And you're out at a house, right? You're doing a surveying job. Where exactly were you doing the job?
Well, actually, I'm a supervisor for a small hydroelectric company, and we're developing small hydro, and we have five other projects. And this is one of the projects I was on. I was doing some survey work.
I love that Canadian talk too. We say projects in the state. You say projects. I love Canadian speak, Brent. I just want to point out to people that's not because a bear bit him in the brain. Okay.
Hey, listen. No. We're neighbors here. We're neighbors.
Absolutely.
No pun intended there.
I love Canadians. So were you out? Was the area at all developed, or were you out in the middle of nowhere?
No, it was. It was only 200 meters from the truck, thank Christ. And the area was accessible by road from the truck, and I was just a stone's throw away, from the truck. But the area where the river per se is basically, isolated river just off the main Bellacoola River, which feeds into the ocean there in the South Benedict Arm in Bellacoola.
Ooh. So not a lot of homes out in that area, I guess, right?
There's homes, but they're large acreages, so they're like it's like a countryside, picturesque country, very beautiful. country with long blocks, long large blocks, and long driveways.
Okay, so it's kind of a nice rural area out there.
Oh, just absolutely spectacular.
Go ahead, Buzz.
Had you encountered bears before, Brent?
Oh yes. I've worked engineering in from basically Vancouver to the Charlottes and right up to the Stewart and. In the various inlets, you're going to come across grizzlies in every inlet up and down the mainland, and we've come close to these bears many, many times.
Do you think that, you talked about playing dead, which is what you're supposed to do. Do you think that if you had let out any kind of scream at all or made any kind of noise or done any kind of, did you do any, I know you weren't screaming, but did you do any struggling at all?
No, when he first grabbed my left arm and then ripped the skin off the left elbow, and what sort of saved me is I had a Mackinac jacket. Do you know what a Mackinac jacket is?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a thick kind of parka-like thing,
that's
right?
That's right, and long underwear on because it was outflow winds and they're fairly cool coming off the glaciers in the valleys and so it was kind of cool, so I was dressed for it. So the layering helped me, but he grabbed my left arm and ripped a strip off the elbow and took me back. And I said, I gotta drop down. And there was a log. I could see the log in the mud. I'm going to drop down. I'm going to get into the fetal position underneath this log. And I did that. And basically, I played dead then. But then when he came back, he grabbed me by my right arm and basically bit right through the right arm. And he got the muscle. He didn't get the bone. He missed the main artery from the plastic surgeon said, like about 3 millimeters.
Wow. So you're done. If he hits the artery, you're done.
If he hit the artery and broke the bone, I think the pain would have been substantial. But the blood, the bleeding would have been definitely fatal. And I would have had, I would have had less time to react. And
this might be a stupid question, Brent, but I was thinking this the whole time. Do you smell the bear while this is going on? Are you even thinking about that? The consciousness of the smell of a grizzly bear? Because he's breathing and slobbering all over you.
Well, when I buried myself in the mud, I was smelling skunk cabbage at the time.
Okay. So you went down face first, right?
And then when he picked me up and basically picked me up like I was a pretzel.
Right.
And then shook me and then let me down again. That's when I got in the fetal position again, tucked my body real close, my head down, and basically got as low as I could because I was going to drop down. And I figured at this stage, my thoughts, he was going to jump on me, and he figures he's got me and jump on me and push me into the mud and leave me there. But at that point, he decided he wanted to lick the back of my neck and pull my scalp off.
Ugh. Oh my God!
Chew on my
he licks the back of your neck and he's
decides.
You didn't get turned on by that, did you, Brent?
No, I don't know. I didn't ask. I thought, he's just going to lick me and leave me alone.
Didn't even buy him dinner
like a dog. But he's what he's doing, right? He's tasting you, right? He's going to see how you taste, right?
Yes, he's tasting me, and then I had fish for lunch just prior to going up there.
Big mistake. Brent.
Big mistake. That's
they
what I'm saying
fish.
At the restaurant. Jesus. Tell Brent I'm so sorry. I shouldn't have fed him fish for lunch.
That's like the worst thing. That is the worst thing you can eat. My God.
That's like, giving honey to a bee or
it's amazing.
I think we've all heard, even from like the cartoon age when we're kids, that if you're attacked by a bear, you're supposed to play dead.
Right. Yeah, you don't run
so
and you don't.
It's so counterintuitive.
Did you have any desire to, obviously this happened too fast. You were working on pure reflex. If you're out there and a bear is near you and you try to like make yourself bigger or you scream at it, that's not the right thing to do, right?
No, they'll take that as a threat, and these animals are to be respected. A grizzly bear generally grizzly bears will avoid human people with all due respect unless they're threatened and or you're in their territory or they have cubs. Very unusual. This bear was an older bear. He was a 12-year-old bear.
Oh, man. He must have been a massive. Well, he's 900 pounds. That's as full grown as it gets, right?
Well, when they get older, as we get older, we get a little grumpier.
Yes.
But when this year was an unusual year for snow, and the thing is, with the snow in the mountains, it drove him down, and he was looking for food. So he was in this skunk, foraging skunk cabbage, and I came into his refrigerator, and he says,
"Oh yeah,
hey, you're counting my refrigerator? I don't think so."
Oh, so you're in his food source right there. Now, a lot of people don't realize that after this is done, after this attack, You know, the bear goes off. And what was the total duration, roughly? Can you give us an estimate of how long did this whole thing last? Because it must have been unbearable.
I get it.
Unbearable, so to speak.
Right. It felt like it was like a year's. And the way he was ripping my skull, and like it felt like a coconut being opened up. But
oh, my God.
I would imagine it was probably not more than 5 to 10 minutes.
Well, but that's still
plenty.
5 to 10 minutes. And, you know, did you feel like maybe he was fracturing your skull at the same time? You said your brains were, you felt like he's eating your brains?
Well, you know, when you crack open a nut?
Uh-huh. Oh, God.
You know, it just felt like that. And then, you know, when you're eating gristle, you know, in the chicken?
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah, Jesus. It felt like that. That's the, I was trying to relate what's the best descriptive sounds. And
Oh, cracking that's open the, a nut, you kind of get it. It's pretty clear good. Right there.
Ooh, that's I was going to do that on TV, but I thought that might gross out the kids or something. I said, you know, because everybody asked me, I said, well, get a nutcracker.
You know, you might be working for that company now, but I think you've got a career. Like, you could lecture. You could go on the lecture circuit.
You could.
Telling people how to survive this for outdoors organizations.
What happened to the bear, Brent? I've missed the rest of this story.
Well, the conservation officers, they pulled in quite a few conservation officers to locate this animal, and they couldn't find him, so they set traps for him, and the bear was cunning enough to not to trip any of the traps.
Wow.
And so two of the conservation officers, Jim, I can't remember his last name because there's been so many people in my life right now.
I'm sure.
But he went in with another fellow, and they were yelling and screaming, and like you usually do, just to make sure you don't startle this animal. Mm-hmm. And they got down there and checked the traps, and they were on their way out apparently, and they looked all over, and they didn't see anything, and they got woofed, and a light charge, and then woofed again, a light charge.
Now, what's woofed? What does that mean? What is woofed?
The bear goes wrong.
Oh, okay.
Oh, so they heard the bear.
He's letting you know this is my territory.
Oh. And so at this point, they see the bear, and then he gives them that warning.
You betcha. And the two fellows thought, well, we're not in the position right now to take the animal down.
Right.
And so they decided, and they probably made the right decision to get recruits. And they went back the following day, and they shot the bear in the river at 5:40 or that morning the next day, apparently.
Oh, and now how do you feel about that? Obviously, you love the wildlife and you love that, but did you feel, is it almost like when you've been attacked by another human being and they get a life sentence or they put him in prison? Did you feel any kind of sense of relief after?
Well, he got a taste for me, you know, and I just said I have to go back there. At one point, I just figured, you know, geez, you know, he sort of liked me the first time. He might like me better the next time. So I was kind of got.
As long as you don't eat fish, you know, just don't eat fish for lunch. You're going to be okay with that.
Next time, have the salad.
And one last question. About this, Brent. So, and this really is, maybe a couple more questions because I'm fascinated.
You're fascinating.
You drove 15 miles after this. This is what, and you're obviously bleeding like a stuck pig at this particular time. And, you know, how are you able to manage that? I mean, he'd cut through the muscle in your arm. You drag yourself. Are you crawling along the ground when this happened? How did you get 15 miles down the road? There's nobody with you.
And how far were you from your truck when you fell down into the mud? I mean, how far did you have to go just to get to your truck?
Well, I think it was about 200 meters just to be, you know, because I know it was sort of on that cut line and about 200 meters from the truck. So I kept an eye on the bear when he left me after he jumped on me and planted me in the mud. I kept an eye on him. As he walked away, I said, when he gets further away, I wiggled my fingers. I said, geez, that's good. I wiggled my toes and figured, well, I can move here. So as he gets away, my only survival is to try to get up. If I can get up, I'm going to try to make it down the line and get to the truck. So as he moved away, he was wiggling his tail and snorting and farting and doing his thing there. And I was saying he's pretty proud of, you know, getting something to eat here. And he went up about 25 feet, and then he kept on going. And because the wind was coming, the bear was upwind, and the wind was, you know, basically howling down the valley.
Right.
I was protected by the wind, so I got up on a hunch, and I started moving along the ground. And I got about 30 feet away, and then he looked back, and then I stopped. And this animal was so cunning, and this is how smart they are. He looked back, and I was fairly condescending at the time. He looked back exactly where he left me.
Yeah.
At the bog, and then he moved again, and he kept on moving, and I got up on a hunch and started moving a little bit more. Got about 50 feet down the line and onto another bench. I crouched down, I watched him, and he was circling around to come back.
Oh, dear.
So I says, okay, now it's time to get up and do the hunchback here and start running on the hunch.
Were you able to run?
I was able to run on the hunch, and because it was fairly open.
Now, is that Canadian, too, run on the hunch? What is run on the hunch?
Well, it's get up like, a, you know, not a half. I wasn't standing full.
Okay, so you were kind of crouched, and you were moving as fast as you could in a crouching position.
You got it.
Yeah. Oh, my wow. God. And then 15 miles, it was a 15-mile drive to get help.
Pretty much. Wow. I don't have the exact, the Constable Harris and the conservation officer, I think, basically took the odometer reading for where the incident happened back to the garage, and I would estimate it was about 25 kilometers or 15 miles.
How long were you in the hospital, sir?
Well, I started off in the Bella Coola Hospital for the night, and then they medevaced me into the Vancouver General the next day, and I think I got out on Thursday the 8th, which is... I guess about 4 or 5 days.
Wow. Oh, how much blood did you lose in this attack? Does anybody know?
I don't know, but they didn't give me blood. So saving grace was this Mackinac jacket. Up like a balloon on the arm. So I think it basically
served as a bandage,
like a
tourniquet, right?
And the scalp bled quite a bit, but... there's a lot of small vessels in the scalp, but he never got any arteries.
Are they going to give you a little time off, your company there?
My boss, Tony Knott, has been wonderful, and, my co-workers, and, it's kind of emotional.
Oh, that is, it's a wonderful story. Would you have done anything differently when you look back on it, just going into the area? There's no way you could have seen this bear. Is there anything you would do differently going out into this location?
Well, I made one fatal mistake, and that was I left my vest, which has a bell on it, in the truck, because I had two pictures left to do, and I got complacent.
Mm.
And this area is fairly open, so you got good visual, for a good 85 to 100 feet ahead of you. And I was very, cautious going in there because, this is the time of year these animals are out, and
right.
Didn't see anything. This animal was down on the ground eating skunk cabbage, so he had his head buried in the ground, so I wouldn't have seen him, and he was over a bit of a bench.
Okay.
So it would have been very difficult. And
did we ask what time of day this was, Brent? What time of day this happened?
It happened around 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Oh, and late in the day. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do they have any patterns, these grizzly bears, as far as when they're out more frequently? Do they they chill out in the morning usually? Or when do they normally feed, or do they do it at all times of the day?
They are, it depends on the time of year, the season of year, what's available for food as far as berries. What's available for food as far as fish, it varies, from time to time. You'll see them foraging in the afternoons or in the early mornings and then playing in the afternoon. And then, they probably hole up during the night. I know I've never had the opportunity of, going and investigating them at night, but I know lots of people have done documentaries of seeing how they actually live. And I, I'm not part of that. I just sort of a daylight person. I don't like to go in the bush at night.
Well, you're a good guy. And are you kind of a hero now? Are people buying you an occasional Labatt's when you're, out and about?
No, I'm trying to stay low key here. I'm a very, I'm not a media person, or I'm a fairly private individual. So I'm just thanking my lucky stars. I'm thanking God that I'm alive.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So
yeah.
It's a bloody miracle, and I don't know why I'm here yet. Yeah. But if I can help anybody, avoid this. And like I say, there's different circumstances. I would have did things a little differently under different circumstances. And
but obviously you did whatever you did well enough to survive, and
yeah.
Not many people can say that. There are a lot of people that are attacked and killed by grizzly bears, and it happens all the time. And you survived it, and I guess you did something right, Brent. And
I think the big fella in the sky has got something to do with it, to tell you the truth, because when I was down there, when he was saying, "God, get it over quick,"
yeah. Right.
And then I said to myself, and I do remember, is I says, "God, I don't want to die," and the bugger stopped.
Yeah. Wow.
And, and then, I can hear him snorting, and then he just pounded me into the ground. I said, "Well, this is too good."
You felt lucky at that point.
I said, "He's got me on my knees now. I guess I'm going to have to go back to church."
You know what? You're a good guy, Brent. I'm glad that the bear left you alone and didn't mess you up too bad. You're a good guy, and congratulations on your survival. This was a fascinating story. And, be careful next time you go out in the woods, eh?
Thank you, sir.
All right. Thanks, Brent. Take Thanks care. For calling. We appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
That's a good guy. My God.
When are we going to get somebody interesting?
That is it.
I tell you what's lucky about that.
What?
He's lucky that bear didn't have a car.
Right.
Because when he got in that truck, if he looked in his rearview mirror.
Oh, bears can fly, too. I mean, yeah, honestly.
Oh, that would be bad.
Get him in a little Alfa Romeo. You just have to watch him all the time.
I've seen it in a Three Stooges movie.
We're going to talk vasectomy with you, Mr. Spiewak.
Thank you, Mike.
And also the Hollywood Hot Sheet coming up on the Mike O'Mara Show. And watch out for grizzly bears.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Hungry? Try the new spicy chicken BK wrapper for just $1.39 at